There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 929, March 14th. 2022, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say no side parts is the latest shot through the heart for Christian. LCH will soon be LLCH. We shall explain gladly. Back to you, CR.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Magnussen back. Mercedes goes fugly. Ferrari looks punchy. Fernando muy happy. LCH to change his namey. And Vic Elford, dead at 86. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Thank you. How are things on the left coast?
The things are happening. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful month of March. I'm telling you, if the Russians hadn't invaded Ukraine, it would be a beautiful day. But they did, and the imbeciles will pay the price. So I'm having right now a nice light lager from the Ukraine.
Oh, that is so good. What else is going on in the life and very fast times of Mr. Rogers?
Well, we're getting pumped up. Now that testing is over, we're now going into the what you call the real schlamazel and schlemiel. And boy, we've got ugly cars, we got excellent, good-looking cars, and we have happiness over in the Ferrari camp and in the Red Bull camp. Lots of giggling. McLaren, not so happy. But on the other hand, Haas is pretty happy, putting in some good times at the end in the evening from Mr. Schumacher. So, very cool stuff. Fernando, he's pretty content with the car, but he could use some more paella. But in the end, I'm telling you, even Alfa Romeo, pretty reliable. Bottas was his happy number two self. So we're going into what we call competition this weekend in Bahrain. And, well, LCH says they're not in the hunt for wins yet. And mockingly, Verstappen giggled, laughed, and then snickered and said, that's what they say every year over at Mercedes. So back to you, Nasser.
Well, you're right. We have 2 weeks to go for the end of this month. Time is flying as always. We have two Formula One races. Next Saturday is the Sebring 12 hours. Moa will be there. And Sunday, Mr. Rogers, the race, I believe, is 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And shortly after the race finishes, Moa is heading to Tampa for a flight across the pond, and I'll share some information. But first, let's talk about the big show that's coming up. The preseason testing is over. The pretenders will be contenders come Sunday, in the sense of Bahrain. And let's start with famous first words. Lewis and Mercedes mourning, we don't have the pace to win races. And as Max said, and you mentioned, I think we have seen this movie a few times before. And as Mr. Bob Varsha used to say, ladies, show us your legs on Sunday. Car number one was top of the timesheets as Max went faster by half a second on soft tires. Even the ever humble Dr. Marco declared, the upgrade gave us more than half a second. And you know how far Max will go if he has a car that's really half a second faster than anybody else. Sideboards is the talk of town, and on day three in Bahrain, Adrian Newey and his associates brought an upgraded version of the sideboard on the Red Bull, and that did the trick. But I'm sure they have other tricks, and so do other people. Red Bull has gone 6 days of testing relatively free of what I call humping and bumping and brake issues experienced by other teams. Max's best time on soft tires was 1 minute 31.720. The pundits of podcasting across the podcasting arena are saying Max is going to win the first race. Few people are saying it'll be Ferrari, and everybody agrees with Lewis for once that he's not going to win the opening race. What does Duke of Dijon say on the opening race?
That Fernando will win the opening race. He was sandbagging the most, actually. So it's going to be exciting. But as George Peppard once said, the French are back in town.
Now we go to Mercedes. For the first time since the 2016 season, LCH will be looking to reclaim his crown. And to borrow a line from a Gladys Knight and the Pip song, this time it won't be easy. It's gonna take more than candy and flowers. And the Dutch tulip he is facing has serious thorns. So watch out as you tiptoe through the tulips, Mr. LLCH. The new Mercedes car is W13. Let's hope this is not an unlucky number, as new kid on the block George Russell said, and I quote, "I think we probably optimized the performance a bit more in Barcelona than we did in Bahrain, but nevertheless we're struggling to find how to unlock a bit more. So as it stands, Red Bull are looking incredibly strong, Ferrari are looking really solid, and we have some work to do," end quote. As you know, Mr. Rogers, they say a cowboy's work is never done, but the job done by Wolfpack is normally well done and frequently won. According to published reports, the Mercedes cars were displaying the biggest effect of humping and bumping, or the new word in my life, porpoising, or whatever it is called. And earlier in testing, their vertical air intake, basically no side parts, got the attention of Mr. Horner. His cries of "not in the spirit of rules" faded away in the desert wind. And I understand FIA has said that it's legal, but even they have been known to change their mind. Sunday, we will find out if the new idea from the mind of Mercedes will give them victory in the season opener. You are the biggest swami of sandbagging. Do you think Red Bull is going to run away with this race? Or Mercedes and Toto are hiding something up this?
Perhaps, but I still think the no side pods, it's not a new idea. It's not very exciting to look at. And when something is not beautiful to look at, you know what that means? It's not going to be machismo. On top of that, I want to be at the Toto board meeting when they decided to name the car W13. If you ask me, that's trouble right there.
Huh? We're going to find out on Sunday afternoon, Mr. Rogers. No worries there. Okay, now we move on to Ferrari. The blood-red Ferrari is already a fan favorite before the start of the season, and there is chatter on the web and on the track that Prancing Horse could be Ali Sheba of the season, which will be very good for the sport and Scuderia Ferrari. Their man, Mr. Monaco, Charles Leclerc, set the second fastest time, 1 minute 32.415. I am really looking forward to Carlos Sainz's first Grand Prix win this year, hopefully, because we have been following his career since his Formula BMW days as a teenager. And his teammate's career we have been following since Leclerc came to Las Vegas for a Scusa karting event many moons ago. And guess who was on the podium on the third and final day of testing? Machismo and his Alpine Renault with the time of 1 minute 32.698. One last time I'm going to ask you for the season. Do you think Alonso will win a race this year? Yes or no?
Yes, I do believe so. With the W13 simply named W13 will give Fernando an advantage. And later on in the season, we'll be talking about the lucky ones that have great timing, the lucky ones that have great positioning in the field, and the ones that what we call have bad karma. And one of those was your favorite, Ricciardo.
Well, Ricciardo was missing in action. He came down with COVID, and of course, we wish him speedy and full recovery. His compadre, Oscar Piastri, has joined McLaren as reserve driver. Aussie mate may replace Aussie in the season opener if Danny Rick still has that not-so-fresh feeling from the virus. Because he has to be up and going by Friday, it would be a good chance. I think he needs to be a little patriotic and let Oscar Piastri race and see what he can do. What say you?
Yeah, perhaps. Perhaps. I don't know, but McLaren has a lot more problems that they're really divulging to the public, including brake issues that are up the yin-yang. We could be going back to Hitco or Carbon Industries.
Lando Norris, Ricciardo's teammate, who lost out at the Russian roulette in Sochi last year, he did the testing for McLaren all 3 days and was frustrated by team encountering brake issues. Team principal Andreas Seidel said, and I quote, "Our running has been compromised by an issue on the front axle. Time constraints did not allow us to entirely solve this during the test, but we were able to move forward despite a limitation in the number of laps we could complete," end quote. But I think McLaren will do well. They were pretty strong at some races, and, you know, Monza saw them win a race. I expect both Carlos Sainz Jr. and Lando Norris to score their maiden wins this season. And I don't think Alpine will win a race, not because of the driver, but because of the, I was going to say package, but maybe lack of package. And now, sir, from the fog of war, we bring you to Russia with no love. First, no F1 GP in the land of Tchaikovsky. Now, no GP on TV. Fans are suffering from Moscow to Vladivostok, as Formula One will not allow broadcast or live streaming in Russia. They are also demanding that any Russian driver who wishes to compete must sign a declaration showing support for Ukraine. Gee, who would have thought Formula One was political? What say you, Dreyfus?
Sacré bleu! Well, well, well. We always want to be on the good guys' side, see? So we're always political as long as they're good guys and bad guys. So, yes, it's back to cowboys and Indians for what I thought was the 21st century racing into the future with Jean-Luc Picard. Now we're back to the days of tank commanders like De Gaulle, Patton, and Eisenhower.
And Jean-Luc Poutine. Okay, sir, you mentioned Kevin Magnussen. Did his arrival back at Haas surprise you, sir?
To be honest with you, when I first saw the headline, there was a brief pause, a moment of surprise, and then I realized it made perfect sense.
Yeah, I was surprised because, you know, Haas, they, even though the team is owned by a multimillionaire, but they're always looking for money, and who isn't? So, but it's a good choice, I have to say. I thought they may go for some other rich kid, you know. Maybe Lance has a cousin or something. But this is a good choice. And K-Mag was released from his duties with Chip Ganassi. And also he had signed a contract to race with Peugeot. And he was going to race with when they come back at Le Mans with this Pepito. But Clark, this is, I'm an observer of events, okay? Not too long ago, Mr. K-Mag was quoted as saying, or words to the effect, how happy he was away from the politics and harsh realities of Formula One, and he'll be very happy in IMSA and World Endurance Championship. But the power and pull of Formula One is absolutely fascinating. Those who hate it still love it. So, and you know who else may be coming back is Flavio Briatore as a consultant to Formula One, but that's another story. Now, this is what I, as you know how much I like cage rattling. So there are a few things I was looking for this year. One is George versus Lewis, and now we have this situation with Kevin Magnussen versus Mick Schumacher, or you can say Mick Schumacher versus Kevin Magnussen. Now, this is a great, great opportunity for both these drivers. Apparently, Kevin Magnussen is there on a multi-year contract, and we all know how solid contracts are in Formula One. But the way I'm looking at it, it's not that I wish anybody ill will or anybody should just surrender to the other driver, but if K-Mag blows away after being away from Formula One in the same team where Mick is in his second year, then his stock will go up, and Ferrari will know that they do have a Schumacher, but as we said the other day, a Carter Schumacher. Okay? If Mick Schumacher stamps his authority on K-Mag, and K-Mag is a very fast driver, he was very competitive in British F3 because actually I met him when he was in British F3, and then he won the World Series by Renault. So the guy is very quick, no question. And if I'm sure you recall, he was on the podium in his very first race with McLaren, you know, many moons ago. And it was very interesting. I was listening to him on another podcast. He was saying that Ron Dennis wanted to keep him, but it was the other board of directors because there was a power struggle going on, and he was outvoted by the people who were wanted to see Ron Dennis out the door. So we'll see how this thing works out. And speaking of Ron Dennis, Montoya was shown the door by Ron Dennis. Monty said that he, and this was his actual quote, that he will not go back to Formula One, even if Ferrari called. Like Luca Montezemolo had nothing better to do. And now I note with interest, much interest, the same Monty is trying to get his mini Monty, who has been doing a very good job in Junior Formula, on the road to Formula One. So nothing changes. It remains all the same. Everybody wants to go to Formula One. And why not? And so the Fittipaldi name may be back in racing for a time basis, but this time it's Fittipaldi Jr., 15-year-old son of Brazil's first ever world champion. He will race in Formula 4 with Frits van Amersfoort team. This is the same team based in Netherlands that ran Papa and Bambino Verstappen in Formula 3. And both of them did very, very well with this team. Now, just a reminder from the Bulls and Bears on Wall Street, past performance is no guarantee of future results. Not all drivers are on a Magellan journey of success. Sir, I want to ask you a question. Politics is part of life now. Politics and PC-ness is just everywhere. You can't watch any program, any documentary, any racing, any news without something being shoved down your throat. And, you know, even when you have good intentions, things don't work out. Did you read about this? Sebastian Vettel had a no war on his helmet for testing, and he had flags of many countries, kind of like what Gerhard Berger did when there was Schmazel going on in the Balkans and Bosnia. Did you read about Sebastian Vettel?
I did read about Sebastian Vettel. And Vettel is a humanitarian. He's very thoughtful. He loves the earth. He loves people. And he's having a hard time. Well, let's put it this way. When Russia invaded the Ukraine, innocent people being slaughtered and killed just for Russian and Putin laughs, he feels that it's hard to take F1 seriously. You can really tell. And the politics. And they had a photo shoot, everybody wearing the t-shirt, the flower, the no war. Well, everybody except your Boudreaux. He decided to go to a different gathering. But it's very sad. And Vettel is going to have a hard time staying in Formula One and not contributing to the world and peace of the world at large. He's going to find more important things to do. He's going to realize that, am I going to waste my life around a bunch of millionaires and billionaires, or am I going to go join the French Foreign Legion and fight the power?
In Algeria?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay, you know, Saab had to remove the image of this disputed flag, which was the flag of the Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, on his helmet because the Cyprus Automobile Association complained to FIA. It's amazing, you know, even in death and destruction and war, people just can't let go of politics. It is very sad. Not saying one side is right or the other side is wrong, but it's very sad. But speaking of Turkish Republic of Northern Cyprus, I'm sure you remember when the president of this place showed up on the podium ceremonies of the, I think it was the very first Turkish Grand Prix, and Max Mosley handed them a huge, huge fine. You remember that?
I remember that. He handed them a huge fine, but he gave them a gift. A whip.
Oh, very nice. And also, how to improve your German, right? Ein, zwei, drei.
Was ist los, mein Herr? Well, they had to come up with an excuse. Apparently, his plane was circling around the airport, dumping fuel before they landed, so he missed the photo opportunity. Nasser, I'm just making it up. I admit it, because I have to have a few laughs. Everybody was there but Lewis Hamilton, who really should be the king of... You see what I'm saying? I mean, I'm so confused on where he stands. I mean, is it Compton? Is it, you know, Minnesota? Is it the Ukraine? Not sure, but you know why? That's why I like Vettel. He doesn't comb his hair. He doesn't get tattoos. He says hello to his father, and he does the right thing for the people.
Yes. No, I was very surprised he was not there, especially for somebody who is the, you know, like speaking for the people by living in the Principality of Monaco. So that was noted. I noted that. And, well, I think everybody knows that the battle of billionaires, Mazepin versus Haas, timing is right, tax season is approaching. The Mazepin camp is asking for a refund from Gene Haas for canceling the sponsorship arrangement and forcing the Khrushchev of car racing to file for unemployment. The Mazepins are now looking for Effie Bailey of Formula One. Apparently, most of the money has been paid to the team. If that is the case, then very big mistake on their part. You never want to pay money for the whole season up front, especially for a team that is fighting for survival. So that's the way it goes, you know. Mr. Rogers, testing is over, talking and BSing is over. We have a Formula One race on Sunday. It'll be so fantastic to see Friday practice. But I got to tell you, man, Sky Sports, during this 3 days of testing, they were doing 8 hours of coverage, live TV. And that really made my life very good because I'm working from home like most people. And on my laptop, I've got this racing going on nonstop. And that was very, very, very impressive to cover 8 hours of Formula One preseason testing. Did you watch any of the clips from there, sir?
Yes, very exciting. Sort of. I mean, I've seen testing before. It's what it is. It's not that thrilling, but it's fun to see people struggling and then people succeed and people crying. The tears have begun. It's going to be fun, fun, fun. I still think we shouldn't be in Saudi Arabia. That's my personal opinion. We're out of Russia. Let's focus on getting out of Saudi Arabia. I mean, before we go to MM, I want to mention they are hiring in Saudi Arabia. Apparently, the executioner on the last 10 that he had to chop. Yeah, apparently he pulled a muscle up in his shoulder. So he was struggling. So they need a new executioner in Saudi Arabia. You know, 81 people. It's a busy executioner. So if you want to stay busy, there you go. SaudiArabia.com/careers.
Slash career, double meaning, huh?
Exactly. You know, there's money in puns.
Yes, of course. But here's the problem I have with what you said. You know, like, I'm not the only one who has said this. If you start using these Killing 81, killing is never a good thing, whether it's one person or 81. But killing 81 people on one day, it's pretty sad. If you start doing this, then where will, you can find problems in any society. Any society, whether it's USA, Brazil,
sure.
Argentina, you know, European countries and China.
Don't forget Texas.
Well, Texas, that's a whole other country, you know. They can do whatever they want.
Exactly.
Their slogan is stand your ground and shoot your bullet and then ask questions.
Yes, you're right, Nasser. Speaking of questions and bullets, Nasser, I think we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be back after we do some shots.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Fisichella, and you are listening F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the King, the Swami himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And we haven't said this in a long time, but on the wonderful occasion of season opener this coming weekend, let me say greetings and Formula One racing regards. Thank you. Sir, on a serious note, and actually on a sad note, Vic Elford passed away. So sad to report his passing. He was a very famous sports car driver. He raced in rallying, sports cars, and all sorts of stuff. The year of 1968 was very impressive for him. He started the season by winning the Monte Carlo Rally in a Porsche 911. A week later, he gave them their first overall victory in a 24-hour race at Daytona. Same year, he had his best Formula One finish in fourth place at the French Grand Prix. Later in the same year, he won the Targa Florio in Sicily, driving a Porsche 907. So very, very impressive. Now, here is the interesting part. Some years ago, I met him at a track. I think it was Sears Point or Laguna Seca, definitely one of the Northern California tracks. And he was carrying a helmet which looked like Mika Hakkinen's helmet. So I had a brief chat with him, and then I asked him about the helmet because I knew he was not racing. And he said it belongs to the driver he is coaching. So I asked him, who is the driver? And he said, Milka Duno. So, a small world we live in, Mr. Rogers. I don't know where he passed away. I just saw this news about an hour or so ago. But I do know he used to reside in Florida. So, maybe that's where he passed away. And he was suffering from cancer. So, we would like to extend our condolences to his family and friends. And, of course, all his racing associates around the world. And, sir, talking of sports car racing, Penske and Penske going global sports car racing. This season's WEX schedule will feature six international endurance rounds, beginning in the United States with the 1,000 miles of Sebring on Friday, March 18, and the next day will be the Sebring 12 hours. What a amazing event this is. The highlight of the series calendar includes the world's most historic and prestigious sports car event, the 24 Hours of Le Mans, which will happen in June. And this time, Mr. Rogers, it will be the first time Team Penske will be in this race since 1971, when Mark Donohue and David Hobbs raced for that team. And the series will also go to Spa-Francorchamps, Monza, Fuji, and Bahrain this year. And you know, in the junior category, Penske has hired Felipe Nasr. And next year, when they move up to the main series, Felipe will be racing there. So that's going to be very, very good for him. Because, you know, once you are in the Penske camp and you behave and perform and don't go like Kurt Busch, then you go places. And I can see Felipe maybe making a couple of road races in NASCAR for captain. Okay, sir. Now we come to the commercial siege of Leningrad. Ferrari, along with other car brands, have stopped shipment of cars to Russia. And Ferrari has also donated about $1 million to Ukraine. Your homeboys, Renault, they own the large factory that was built by Fiat in Togliatti, a Russian town named after a member of the Italian Communist Party back in the day. So Renault has stopped production and so has Toyota. You know what that means, Mr. Rogers? No Megane in Moscow. And no RAV4 in Red Square. Let's hope cooler heads prevail on all sides. Sooner the better. Do you have any thoughts on car production and all these commercial agendas against Putin land?
Well, everybody's doing the right thing. It's coming out of their pocketbook, but we must make sacrifice to punish the devil.
Yeah, this will cost a lot of people lots of jobs, which is never good. Okay, sir. Sir, I did something because we didn't have a lot of action this past weekend. So do you remember A1GP? You know how they say in American racing, gentlemen, start your engines. And when A1GP race used to start, they used to say, for the pride of your nation, start your engine, because it was promoted as World Cup of Motorsports, which was a neat idea. So, what we will do today, we will look at some, because of time, we cannot do all of them, but we will look at some of the first wins for a nation around the world of Formula One racing, okay? You get the idea, right? We will start north of the border and then go down and around the world. The nation of O Canada has produced two Grand Prix winning drivers, both from the same family. JV took the championship honors, which his father, the late Gilles Villeneuve, was sadly not able to accomplish. But he will remain forever the first driver from Canada to win an F1 race. And on top of that, on home soil in the very first Canadian Grand Prix held in Montreal, 1978, driving that beautiful Ferrari 312 T3, which is one of my all-time favorite cars. And you know, it was a very rare occasion that season. Ferrari ran that car for Gilles and Carlos Reutemann, red color of course, but there was a white band coming down the front nose, which looked very neat. Okay, then we come to where we are, USFA. Phil Hill was the first American to win a Formula One race. Five American drivers have taken victory in Formula One. Phil Hill from Santa Monica, California. He was not only the first American to win a Grand Prix, but also the first American world champion, which he did at Monza. Okay, now his first victory was in Italy, Monza Italian Grand Prix 1960. And his first victory was the last ever Grand Prix win for a front-engine car in Formula One. Among other American successes in Formula One, Richie Ginther gave Honda and Goodyear their first win when he won the 1965 Mexican Grand Prix. And Dan Gurney, interestingly, all three were from Southern California. Dan gave three different teams their maiden win in Formula One. Brabham and Porsche, both in the French Grand Prix and his own team in 1967 at Spa. Now we go south of the border. Ombre south of the border produced two giant sucking sounds in Formula One. Pedro and Checo. Pedro was numero uno for Mexico when he won the 1967 season opener in South Africa, driving a Maserati-powered coupe. South Africa itself has only one winner, and that is, of course, the 1979 world champion, Mr. Jody Scheckter. Next, let's look at some nations with one-hit wonders. Venezuela. Maldonado beating Machismo in the 2012 Spanish Grand Prix on Frank Williams' birthday. Do you remember the fire that broke out in the Williams pits right after the race? Maldonado was really on fire that day, huh? Okay, Monaco. Charles Leclerc at Spa. Netherlands. Max was mighty on his Red Bull debut in Barcelona 2016 with the little donkey shown to Nico and Lucky Strike. And of course, if we talk about Lucky Strike, we have to just fly a little bit and go to Viva España. Machismo in Magyar Republic 2003. Driving the Mile 7 car, the driver has seen some wildcat days at the same track in dark days that would follow. And it will be very good for Spain if they can have another Grand Prix winner in the form of Carlos Sainz Jr. Now we come to Polska Republic, Poland. Steve McQueen was the Cincinnati kid. Robert Kubica is the Krakow kid. And his day of days came in Canada in 2007 with BMW Sauber. The city of Krakow produced another famous Polish motorsportsman, rally driver Sobislav Zasada, and he was very good. He used to, he was a factory driver for Porsche back in the day. Now we come to Switzerland. The cuckoo clock has struck only once in Formula One in terms of driver, race-winning drivers. Clay Regazzoni at Monza, 1970, which I think was his only fourth or fifth start for Ferrari. He would go on to win the very first Grand Prix in Long Beach, also in a Ferrari, and gave Frank Williams his first Grand Prix success at Silverstone in 1979. And what else can we talk about? Sweden. Joe Bonnier in the 1959 Dutch Grand Prix. This was the first win for the driver and the team, and the team was BRN. And sir, just for the record, the very first Grand Prix took place in your Shangri-La, 1906, and was won by a Hungarian driver, Franz Zisch. His last name is spelled S-Z-I-S-Z. And I remember reading about this last name, never being able to figure out how to say it back when I was, I don't know, 10 years old or 11 years old. And he was driving a Renault on Michelin tires. So that was very, very... You know, I'll tell you, man, when the 2006 French Grand Prix took place, I really wanted Machismo. If there was one race I wanted him to win, was that race, because it would have been very nice, Renault and Michelin winning in 1906 and 2006. But, you know, somebody from Germany in a red car ruined that weekend. Do you remember that, sir?
Yep. That lucky son of a bitch.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir. Now we come to famous last words. This was interesting. Otmar Szafnauer on why he left Aston Martin. He said, and I quote, "The Catholic Church only has one pope. And when you have two popes, it's just not right. So I think it was time to leave and leave Aston Martin to their one pope," end quote. And with that confession, we come to the end of this F1 Weekly Holy Script. And Papa Rogers, the sinners amongst us would like to seek your words of wisdom. What say you?
My words of wisdom are, help your Ukrainian neighbor with his sisters and his mother and his brothers. That's all I got to say. You know, everything is going to be fine. We've got Formula One this weekend. But let's be clear. Ukraine should be on our minds while Fernando wins this Grand Prix. So there you have it, Nas. It's going to be exciting. And I see you have a musical mondial on this beautiful podcast.
Yes, sir. The musical mondial. So we don't get legal slings and arrows, has to be no more than 30 seconds. And since, sir, next weekend we have the big show, the heat is on, it's time to invite little Willie John to the Palatial Studios for some original Fever.
Thank you, Nass. An outstanding job. There you go, Nasser. Next week you will be wearing Renault colors.
Well, you know, on Sunday I fly out and we're hoping to meet Dr. Farrington and Mr. Brazier, and we are planning to go to Crystal Palace where they used to have Grand Prix cars and all sorts of racing. It's in London, so we don't have to drive 3 hours someplace. So I'm really looking forward to it. And so something very interesting, couple of people I was trying to meet and interview, it just has not worked out. So as a backup, I sent an email to Christian Danner because I met him some years ago. We did an interview with him in Austin, and somehow it clicked. You know, sometimes it does. And when I met him later at Abu Dhabi, he actually asked me to send him a copy of the interview. And so I sent him an email that, hey, I'm in Munich, where he lives in that area, for a few days. So he has agreed to meet me for lunch or dinner. So that should be fun. And if we are at some place where it's not very noisy, which I doubt, but I'll try to record the conversation with his express written consent. And, sir, here is the real kicker for me. You've heard of this track in Salzburg, Salzburg Ring, obviously, right, in Austria, which is not too far from the German border. So my friend in Munich, we are going to take a drive or maybe take the train we're going to go to Salzburgring. And I sent them an email saying I'm with this world-famous podcast under Dictator Rogers. And can I come and get a, you know, I would like to not drive on the track, but maybe walk a little bit. And so surprisingly, they responded right away saying that contact us during the lunch hour and let us know what you want to do. So hopefully if I can, you know, spend some time on the track, which is a very famous track. And I do remember seeing pictures of European touring cars and people like Gerhard Berger and Roberto Ravaglia. You know, it's been there for a while. They've had motorcycle races there. And the day I'm going looks like on their website, there is some sort of a test day for historic cars. And there was some interesting like Alfa Romeo GTA and some old Mercedes and stuff like that. So hopefully it will be a good trip. And I have never been to Austria. So I am really, really looking forward to it. Shall I get you a KTM cap from Austria?
No.
You just want a Ferrari cap.
Correct.
Yes. And there is also a famous Red Bull hangar. I don't know if it's called Hangar 7 or something, which is also in Salzburg. So they have some racing cars, I believe. So I'll try to see if I can make a quick pit stop there also.
Good man, Nasser. Keep up the good work. The check's in the mail. More zeros. And I want to thank everybody who listens. Enjoy the Grand Prix and say hi to Fernando. Nasser, thank you. And we'll see you next week. Good night.
You never know how much I love you. Never know how much I care. When you put your arms around me, I get a feeling that's so hard to bear. You give me fever. When you kiss me, fever when you hold.